Hi, this is Vicki Goforth Parnell, and I've come to speak to you about something the Lord Jesus Christ has been dealing with me, and He's asked me to share it. I ask that you pray about this, seek the Lord Jesus Christ, try the spirits. This is entitled, Called to Live Holy. We are all called to live holy in Jesus Christ, in Father God. We are called to live holy, but it is a willful choice to do so. So before we start, today is 4/14/24. Let us pray and seek Father God for His truth, Jesus Christ for their truth. Father God, I come to You, Lord, in the name of Jesus and Jesus Christ. I ask that You would answer this prayer as John 14:13-14 says, so that Father God will be glorified. And You said, what I ask in Your name, You would do it. I'm not asking amiss. I'm asking Holy Spirit, lead this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Don't let me speak a word, Lord, or teach or say anything that's not of You. I have been in this word all day. All day, Lord, and it is nighttime. But I love You and I thank You for letting me get in this word. And I wanted a greater understanding. So I asked that the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit, the teacher, according to John 2:27, would step up, would rise up in me. And I surrender to You, Holy Spirit. I surrender to You, Jesus Christ and Father God. Mind, soul, body, and spirit. In Jesus Christ's name. And I say, You take the lead. I want no glory. This all goes for You, Lord, and I pray that You open the ears of every person that hears this. You open the eyes to every person that sees or reads this. Lord, Father, even if it's sign language, Father, open the hearts and soften them, Lord, and do not let this word go out void. According to Isaiah 55:11, this word shall go out. The word of God will go forth, and it will accomplish all He sets it out to do. All He pleases it to do. Now, Lord, I ask this to be placed under the barrier of stealth and invisibility. I'm asking You, Holy Spirit, let me go through as You, under You, as the Holy Ghost, holy, holy, under the shadow of the almighty wings. And I command and decree and declare in the name of Jesus Christ, there will be absolutely no retaliation on this video in Jesus Christ's name, or PDF or anything else, if there's a PDF. There will be no witchcraft cast upon this in Jesus Christ's name. And it's been removed by the power of Almighty God through the commandments of God Almighty on all the other videos and PDFs and such like. Not just on this, but on the children of God. And then they are now sealed in that precious blood of Jesus Christ that no weapon can penetrate, no spirit can penetrate. No device, gizmo, or gadget can penetrate. No wave, no frequency, no nothing. It is a hedge of protection that can only be let down by Father God in heaven, His command. And we know that's a fact. The hedges cannot be let down unless God allows it, according to Job 1:2. Lord, I give You praise. Now, Father God, I command and I pray. And I'm commanding in Your name as an heir and a joint heir in Jesus Christ, using the authority. You're telling me to start using my authority, asking You to do it, but to stand up and use authority, because You said, behold, I give unto You power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt You. So I am commanding in Jesus Christ's name, all strongholds be torn down against this ministry and against my life. All the veils of deception, lies, and such things in all existence known to God, because God exists everywhere, be removed. Every person, place, thing, or being, Luke 8:17, upon You, be exposed, be disgraced, and be removed, and do not return in the name of Jesus Christ. Every evil gathering You will scatter and not regroup in the name of Jesus Christ. Every weapon, gizmo, gadget, wave device, frequency, signature, biometrics, all such things of technology, all devices, and that covers it all, in Jesus Christ's name, are canceled, reversed, and resent in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ, I ask that you answer all this in your name according to your will. Hallelujah, your will be done. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lord willing, are we going to do that, Lord? At the end of this, after I talk about living holy, we're going to talk about devices. Lord, really? It says we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. What are devices? Hallelujah. All right. The Word of God says we are called to live holy. But we are also to live like Jesus Christ. He is our example. He's our high priest, and we are called priests. What does priests do? They offer up sacrifices, a sanctified life, a holy consecrated life that offers up sacrifices and praises to God. Except we do it spiritually. We worship him in spirit and in truth. Whereas in the old law, the old covenant of Moses, they sacrificed animals. The priest offered the animals, the incense, and such like. Okay, we are made holy through Jesus Christ by his love, actions, and words. I'm going to read you a few examples of how he consecrated his life for us. But first, we're going to start with 1 John 2:6. And this tells you, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. It's talking about Jesus Christ. We know that because in verse 1, my little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So they're talking about Jesus Christ here in verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. We are supposed to walk like Jesus Christ. We are called to live holy. All right, some examples before we get into all of the teachings. I've got them marked. I apologize. I'm having to do in here. There's things going on out there. So, and the Lord's are not outside today. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He made all that possible through his holy living and through his actions and his deeds. All right, 1 Peter 2:24, which is what I go to for healing, but it also talks about righteousness. 2:24, who his own self bare sins in his body on the tree, on the cross, Jesus Christ, that we, being dead to sin, because we accepted him, should live unto righteousness. Righteousness, holiness, righteousness. By whose stripes you are healed. There's a slight difference in that, but it all leads to a consecrated life. Hebrews 10:20. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated us, consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, through his body, through everything he's done. Again, that's through love, his love, which is actions and words, all that he did and all that he said. He consecrated himself on this earth, did his Father's will, so we can live holy lives and be counted worthy of Father God in his eyes. All right, I'm going to need that again. Just bear with me because I'm going to read some of it, what I had written down, because he was just telling me. All right. Choosing to live holy is also accepting the sorrow and suffering the persecution that comes with the consecrated life like Jesus Christ lived and we are called to be like. Again, 1 John 2:6 we just read. saying we are to walk like him. Jesus Christ is our example. Do you want to know what an example of a consecrated life is? Isaiah 53. This is our example. I'm going to read 1 through 4. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, Jesus grown up before Father God, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's undesirable to the world. He is despised. You don't live a holy life like Jesus Christ, you're going to be despised. He is our example. And rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Everybody turned on him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Esteemed. We showed him no respect. That's what you can expect living a holy, consecrated life. But there's another part of it too. You want to live a holy life and please God. When you live a holy life, when you consecrate your life, that's also when the power of God comes. Because Jesus, Father God, says, be ye holy as I am holy. Sin separates. In Habakkuk 1:15, it talks about he cannot look upon sin. That does not mean his eyes can't. That when you study that, that means he cannot tolerate sin. So he is not going to stay where sin is. You want a holy, pleasing life if you want God's presence around. And I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit departing. I'm talking about Father God himself. This is why there had to be a bridge gap. This is why there had to be a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because Father God will not tolerate sin. He'll let it go for a length of time, but he is just and he is righteous. And sin demanded a sacrifice. And Jesus Christ was the only perfect sacrifice. He is our example in every way. Okay, but through the consecrated life of holiness in the body of a fleshly man, Jesus did this. He became our example. It takes being holy for God's glory, his light to be upon our lives, which I am meaning the power of God to be active in our lives. You want the power of God active in your lives. You want to be able to pray and your prayers to be answered, you know, effectively. I mean, God will hear and he will answer. But when you can pray a prayer and it gets answered immediately, when you can lay hands on the sick and they recover, when you can speak in the name of Jesus and cast out demons, as we're called to do, it takes a holy, consecrated life. That means that brings a holy, consecrated life, brings the power of God, the glory of God, the light of God. All right, we're going to go to John 17. John 17, 14 through 19. And this is Jesus praying for us, praying for the disciples, praying for us. Again, though, it's going to tell you how he says he sanctified his life. I have given them thy word. He's given us the word. Jesus is the word made flesh, but he's given him the holy word. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not of this world. You have become a new creation. Your residency is in heaven. So when you try to dabble in sin, you don't belong there either. I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So why are you trying to fit into the world? Sanctify them through thy truth. thy word is truth. Sanctify them through the word of God. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He sanctified himself so we could be free, so we could be redeemed. He lived the holy life according to the will of God so we could be redeemed. We hear this all the time. Be ye holy, for I am holy. You know why God's saying, be ye holy, for I am holy. I want to spend time with you. I have bridged a gap through Jesus Christ so you can have fellowship with me. But your sin stinks, and I don't want to be around it. My interpretation, be ye holy, for I am holy, because there's nothing hid to Father God's eyes. There is nothing. He sees all the things that you think you're hiding from your neighbor, your pastor, your brother, your sister, your job. Jesus Christ, Father God, sees it all. You're not hiding it from him. And if he says there's sin, there's sin. You need to deal with it. Be ye holy, for I am holy. You want the presence of God in your life? You want to hear from God? Consecrate your life. Be ye holy, for I am holy. You want the presence of God in your life and his power? Then you have to live holy and separate yourself from the world because he is holy. Go to 2 Corinthians 6:17. I'm in 1 Corinthians. Give me just a second. Now, I don't know if we'll have a PDF of this or not. So we're going to 2 Corinthians 6:17. But I still have other PDFs I'm behind on. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, talking to the children of God, come out from among them the world, the sinners, the inhabitants of this earth that do not serve God, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. This is a command from the Lord. This isn't just Paul saying it. This is a command from the Lord. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And we're not going to go into the unclean thing. We're going to go into the part, be ye separate. Separate. Separate from the world. Your life should be showing the fruits of the Spirit, as in Galatians 5. You should be showing attributes of Jesus Christ in your life. You have to die to the world. Die to fleshly lust, wants and desires. Romans 8:9-10. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. I'm going to go up to verse 8. I think it needs to be added. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're living in the flesh, even if you've once been accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you're living in the flesh, you're sinning, you cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh. When you accept Jesus Christ, you're a spiritual, a new creature. That's what it says, but it used to be new creation. You're a new creation. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead, meaning your desires and lustly desires for sins of the world should be dead. You crucify them. You take care of them. And the reason it says the lust, when lust is conceived, sin is brought forth. It's sin, it originates through lust, which is a desire for something. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I'm going to read verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, God's Spirit, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Living holy is possible through Jesus Christ. It would not be in the Bible if it was not possible, but it is a willful decision, a choice on your part. Now, Paul himself said, I die daily. That's in 1 Corinthians 15:31. We're not going to go there. But he's talking about he dies daily. What's he doing? He's crucifying his flesh every day, which we're called to do. Pick up the cross and carry it. And we're going to talk about that cross, why he said that, in just a little bit. Excuse me. Thank you, Lord, for the milk. I love you, Lord. We are made holy by Jesus Christ's blood when we accept Him into our hearts as our Savior. We'll go into that in just a minute. His will, Jesus Christ's will, is the will of the Father's. His will must become our will. We do this by abiding in Him and He in us. That's that obedience and abiding in Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Sorry. Abiding in Him and He abiding in us. And there are several scriptures that talks about that. John 15:4-5. It's important to know it's in the Word of God. John 15:4-5. I'm not going to go into all this because it's about to run, but abide in me. It's just Jesus Christ talking. And I in you. When you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, He abides in your heart. He abides in you. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. You're not going to survive unless you live in Him. If you're just a branch when it has no root will die. Jesus Christ is your root. He is the vine. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me ye can do nothing. You're going to bring fruit, whether it's good fruit or bad fruit. When you live a holy life, pleasing, you're going to show the attributes of Jesus Christ. You're going to have the character of Jesus Christ, the fruits of the Spirit. Now, some of you are living godly, some of you are living not so godly. You may have some of them. But the fact is, you're called to live holy. You're called to separate from this world. You're called to be peculiar and to stand out. You're called to be a voice for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are called to share the gospel. Colossians 2:6. Got a different Bible here. Sorry about that. Intend this one. It's after Ephesians, in case you're looking. No, I don't need to do that. But excuse me. Philippians. Where'd that come from, Lord? I know where these are. Really good. Pages are sticking together. I've been in this Bible all day. Colossians 2:6. Colossians 2:6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And go to the next one. Verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Rooted. We hear say, dig your roots deep. Dig your roots. Put your roots down in Jesus Christ. Live holy. Live a consecrated life. Now we're going to go to 1 John, starting with 2. The Lord was very particular about these verses. Yes, I am. 1 John 2, verse 6 to start with. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as we walk. We've done said that one. That is so important. 1 John 3:24. Lord, these pages are sticking together, but I'll give you praise for your word. And he that keepeth his commandments. You know how to abide in the Lord? Here it is. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Keep the commandments. Live holy. You want him to live in you and you live in him? Keep his commandments. 1 John 3:24. Here's one more. 1 John. Okay, Lord. In addition, we're going to read 1 John 4:13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. There's ways of confirming. And you know to try the spirits of everything. That's in 1 John 4:1-3, 13-5, 1 Corinthians 12:3, 2 John 7. There's more verses, but that's okay. We are made holy by Jesus Christ's blood when we accept him into our hearts as our Savior. Apparently, I'm going to do more of the Bible reading than I thought. 1 Peter 1:18-19. Those of you that may not know, 1 Peter is after James. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. We are made holy. We are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. But you have to keep yourself holy. When Jesus Christ comes in, you are washed and made clean, and you are made holy. I think it's Isaiah 61:10. It talks about the robe of righteousness. He places upon us a robe of righteousness. You have to keep that robe clean. And I'm going to give you a verse showing that you have to clean yourself by repenting too. That's part of it. Hebrews 9:24-25. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest, enter into the holy place every year with blood of others. Jesus Christ is our high priest. He's everything. But we ourselves are being priests after him. I'll give you that verse here in a minute. Okay, we have to keep both our bodies and souls clean. Yes, we do. It speaks of that in 2 Corinthians 7:1. And it says, let me get in 2 Corinthians. Praise the Lord, I love you, Jesus Christ. I even put my marker in the wrong place. I had that one marked because I've been reading it all day. It just, oh no, I had two markers. Okay. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. I said soul. It's flesh and spirit. Flesh and spirit. Spiritual pollution. Idolatry. Stuff like that. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Let's clean ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Holiness in the fear of God. And that is the fear of God, of awe, and with the understanding, the reverent holy fear. At any given moment, God give a command and this whole earth could be just out of existence. Fear and tremble at his awesome works. Fear when you, in a holy way, not fear that causes torment. When you look back on all the way he raised his hands against the enemy, his enemies, against the hand of those that come against the Israelites, fear and tremble at his mighty works. But in all that, we know his love first of all. And so our fear is not a fear of a terror. Now, if I was his enemy, I'd be terrified. Yeah. Okay, I also have other verses about cleaning our body. See, most people, and you repent and you ask Jesus to forgive you when you do mess up. Just man falls 7 times and then gets back up. Meaning that is a person that believes in God, that's accepted the Lord. He falls 7 times and gets back up. Meaning he doesn't stay down. He repents. Just like David repented after he had slept with Bathsheba, got her pregnant, killed her husband, had her husband Uriah murdered. But he repented and came back to the Lord. Father God, that's God's merciful love. Okay, 1 Corinthians 5:23. Oops, one more. Again, this is showing you have to do your part. Once you repent, earnestly repent, there should be a change. When you first get saved, there should be a life change. And if the Lord's convicted you of something and you've got rid of it, tore down your idols, there should be a change. You should not go back to it. That's like a dog going back to his vomit. 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of them. Okay, that one should have went on this other one. I'm sorry. Isaiah. I like Isaiah. I like it all. I love the whole Word of God. That's where I'm at. It's precious. And I don't like the fact that they're going to take them up. They're going to try to silence God's voice, but you know what? It's not going to work. Isaiah 55:11. His Word will accomplish all he set it out to do. Isaiah 1:16-20. Oh, that's Old Testament. I hear that. Well, 2 Corinthians 7:1 wasn't. We're talking about you have to cleanse yourself. Isaiah 1:16-20. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Pretty plain. Wash yourself. Clean ye. Yes, Isaiah 61:10 does talk about the robe of righteousness. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. So when you get saved, he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. You got to keep it clean. You have to keep it clean. And you do that with Holy Spirit's help. You want the rest of them, Lord, or do you just want? Okay. Other verses pertaining to keeping yourself clean. Leviticus 20, 7 through 8. 1 Peter 1, 22 through 23. And Romans 12, 1 through 2. But he's saying read the Romans. One, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing, the continual renewance. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And again, thank you, Jesus. We do this by abiding in him and he abiding in us and following the lead of the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 12. I'm not going to read that. They tell us we are called into holiness. That's what 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 12. We are called into holiness. But verse 7 says, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. When Jesus said in Matthew 10, 37 through 40, that if you love father, mother, son, daughter more than me, then you're not worthy of him. Meaning, he has to be first. Anything you put before Father God and Jesus Christ is an idol. Family, friends, money, job, homes, anything. And when he said, he that taketh not up his cross is not worthy of me, he is referring to those who choose to still walk in the lust of the flesh instead of following him. Fully following him. I know there are people that have been saved, love the Lord, but don't follow the commandments of this Bible in their living. Matthew 16, 24 clarifies this more about the cross. Then he said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, die to the world and its flesh, fleshly lust. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. Our old self was crucified. Jesus, but we have to take our cross daily to keep it that way. What I mean, our old self was crucified when we accept Jesus Christ. But we have to take up our cross daily to keep it that way. We have to crucify this flesh daily. We have to deny the lust that tries to come up, which is lust conceived brings forth sin. And again, lust is not simply sexual. Lust can be the lust of the food. Lust can be the lust for a job. Lust can be the lust for money. Lust can be for somebody else's husband. Lust can be for winning a husband if the Lord's called you to consecrate and live separate. I mean, there's just different things that, just pray about that. I know it can open a window. I'm not going into that. There's lust. You're supposed to pray for the Lord's perfect will to be done in your life and then submit to it. There's reasons He calls us to do what we're called to do. Let me explain a little further, though, why the cross is mentioned here. In Jesus Christ's day, it was a place. The cross was a place of humiliation and known as a torturous death by the Romans' hands, who were ruling over Israel at this time. It was a place of shame, humiliation, and torture. But in the end, it was a place of death. Jesus is telling how serious it is for us to need to deny the flesh and its sinful lust, which lust, again, is how all sin begins. I keep saying when sin is conceived, it brings forth death. When lust is conceived, that's James 1:15. And then the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. All right. He tells us how serious it is to deny the flesh and its sinful lust and crucify them and live holy. We must die to ourselves, our individual rights, our self-will daily for His will to become ours. Then our lives will become one of humble obedience, holy and pleasing to God by Jesus Christ and in Him abiding in us and we in Him. Galatians 2:20, I'm hearing that. To Corinthians, hold on. Galatians 2:20. This is Paul speaking. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He crucified His flesh. He's dead to His old life. And the life that he now has is through living for Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:10. And this is Paul again speaking. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. We're always to bear in us the remembrance of Jesus' dying. Because through His death, through His resurrection, through all He did, it made life in Jesus that He might be manifested in our life. He lives in us. We live in Him. Jesus did everything for us. I've said that over and over before. Jesus Christ has done everything we need, not only for salvation, but for a victorious life. But you've got to be obedient to this word. You've got to surrender and let His will become your will. Oh, Romans 13:14. Do you want that one too, Lord? Yes, okay. Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That right there tells you how to keep from sinning. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Get on that cross with Him. Do what He's done. And make no provision for the flesh. If you do not live a holy life, if you do not put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that also means put on His lifestyle. He's our example. Put all this on. Put on is not a good word for that. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. It literally means everything he's done do. And this will cause you to be no reason for you to sin, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, it will give you no opportunity to have a door open for you to walk into sin, if you do what you're told to do. Let Jesus Christ live in you and you live in him. You can't just be a follower. You've got to walk in his footsteps. You've got to walk. Religion is hanging around the cross. A true child of God trying to seek and be holy is getting on the cross. You got to make a willful decision, a choice to do so. Again, we do this all by abiding in him. All right, so the Romans hands, the cross again was, it's not something that a rabbi or priest of that day was going to talk about because it was such a horrible way to die. All right, now Christ Jesus is the image of God who is holy. 2 Corinthians 4:4. And we know that I and my Father are one, John 10:30. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Hold on. Too many pages. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believeth not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Why am I mentioning that? Because we should reflect Jesus Christ. We should be an image of Jesus Christ. We're not Jesus Christ, but we can be like him. He has made a way for us to live holy. All right. To live a holy, consecrated life is a willful choice. Again, remember Isaiah 53:1-4. He was a man acquainted with sorrow and full of grief. All those things they said. It tells us what kind of life to expect if we choose to live holy. Because Jesus Christ is our example, we will suffer persecution. All who live godly, holy, godly, will suffer persecution. Verses for that, I'm not going to go into them. 2 Timothy 3:12. 2 Corinthians 4:8. John 15:8. Luke 6:22. 2 Timothy 2:3-10-13. Now, Paul understood this more than anybody, to me, that you had to live a consecrated life, and it was a willful choice, and that you would suffer like Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. He knew at times like these, the power of Christ would most likely rest upon him. And that's in 2 Corinthians 12:9. Philippians 3:7-10. I do hear we need to read that one. Philippians 3:7-10. But what things were gained to me that I counted loss for Christ? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. Everything he's lost is just, you know, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Everything he's lost. Remember, he was in line. He was in the Sanhedrin, studying under Gamaliel, high up in the religious rulers, sex, everything. That's sex. S-E-C-T-S. I heard that, Lord. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. Everything, it's loss. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. We have to be willing to suffer persecution too. You have to make a choice to willingly live a holy, consecrated life. There's so many people, they want to hear from God. They want dreams. They want visions. They want to operate in the power, but they don't want to live holy. They don't want to sacrifice that time. They want to take the time to study and get in this word. Just for an example, as I said, I have been in this word since I got up this morning, like at 6 this morning, and it's already close to midnight. What does that mean? I'm not lifting myself up. I'm just saying I have a hunger. I'm willing to sacrifice the time. He called me and said, daughter, you're going to do this. This morning he said, and he said, called to live holy. And I said, what do you want, Lord? I've stopped long enough. I had to run one little errand. And I come in here and prayed again. The whole time has been dedicated to this. Why? Because he called me to. Because I am trying to live my life pleasing to him and obedient. And then he said to share it. So that's what we're doing. All right. If you hear my son, he's talking to people. This is the type of life of Christ Jesus. Again, the Isaiah 53, 1 through 4. And he did all this for us. If you want to live a holy, consecrated life in him, then you must be willing to go through all Jesus Christ did. Some people will be martyred for the name of Jesus Christ. Give their lives. For those that say, he did that for me, so why do I have to if Jesus Christ has already done that? When you go read Isaiah 53, 1 through 4, and then even, and you see his life that he lived for us, some people will say, he's already done that for me. I don't have to do it. Matthew 10, 24. The disciple is not above his master. You follow Jesus Christ, you're a disciple. Nor the servant above his Lord. Meaning the disciple, the follower of Jesus Christ, they are not better than Jesus Christ himself. If he suffered, so will we. And another verse that backs that up is Romans 2, 11. For God has no respect of persons. When you live a holy, consecrated life, you should have the mind of Christ, the likeness of Christ Jesus in his heart. The fruits of the Holy Spirit should be evident again. Fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 6. Be evident, and so will the active power of God Almighty be evident too. Okay, Jesus talks about the image of God, so Jesus' likeness is of God also. We have the first verse I gave you about the image of God, 2 Corinthians 4, 4, but also God's likeness, Jesus Christ, my Father. I am my Father of one, John 10, 30. So you also have Ephesians 4, 24 telling us that. The heart of Christ, again, I am my Father of one. That's John 10, 30. Ezekiel 11, 19 talks about I'm putting a new heart, the heart of Christ. The mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2, 16, Philippians 2, 5, and then Romans 12 talks about the renewing of the mind. We read that earlier. The renewing, the continuance. So you've got to keep that mind of Christ clean too. Cast down those vain thoughts. That tells you right there, cast down those thoughts, those vain thoughts. Think of what's pure and holy and just means you got to keep it clean. You are called to be holy. Separate yourself from the world. Spend time with Father God and Jesus Christ. Pray, read the Word of God, study it often. Worship and sing praises. Remove those things you have placed before them. They are idols and they pollute you spiritually. Even if it's something physical you have placed before Father God, you have committed adultery, idolatry. You need to remove it. Tear your idols down. Return to the Lord God as your first love. You have to clean yourself up in your body and spirit. Again, as 2 Corinthians 7:1 told us, among other verses. And you do this with Holy Spirit's help when we ask in Jesus Christ's name for Him to do that. Remove those things out of our lives that we know are displeasing to our holy God and Savior. God doesn't tolerate sin. Again, Habakkuk 1:13, I may have said 15 earlier, it's 1:13. Look upon in KJV means tolerate. That's one of the definitions. Isaiah 59:2 tells us sin separates. Repent earnestly and make a change. There needs to be a change. Earnest repentance, real repentance, brings about change in your life. We are a new creation when we accept Jesus Christ into our life, into our hearts. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are kings and of the priesthood. We are priests. 1 Peter 2:5, Revelation 1:6. We are supposed to be, in Exodus 19:6. We are supposed to be peculiar. What does peculiar mean? Special or different than other people. Exodus 9:5, 1 Peter 2:9. So why am I saying this? If the power of God is not evident in the church or in the people, then you're not living a holy, consecrated life. And that doesn't always mean just, it also means the power of God, the Holy Spirit and the power of God gives you boldness to speak. You have to have that holy boldness. When the Holy Spirit moves upon you, now you can be timid at first, but still step out in faith. There needs to be fruits of the Spirit in your life. I hear the Lord saying, go to that. Attributes of Jesus Christ. Even when Jesus Christ judged, He judged righteously. When He was angry, He was angry and sinned not. When He threw the money tables, money changers tables over. So, Galatians 6. The fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5. Hold on. 5. I'm sorry. I kept saying 6. Galatians 5. The fruits of the Spirit. Before the fruits of the Spirit, you have the works of the flesh. So if you're doing any of the works of the flesh, there's sin in your life. Do you want to go over them too? Yes. Verse 16. This I say, Galatians 5. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, Spirit of God, in Jesus who's abiding in you, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't sin. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, that desire to sin lusts against the Spirit. The Spirit strives or fights against the flesh when you have God's Spirit in you. And these are contrary, the one to another. They're in disagreement. Opposite. They're different. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. If you have sin in your life, you're not going to be effective. That's what it's saying. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Get the sin out. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not under the old law. You're under the law of grace, which means under Jesus Christ and what He's done. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. That can be spiritual adultery too. Understand. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. You need to look these up. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, strife and discord, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders. Now understand, you have hatred in your heart or unforgiveness to somebody, hatred is murder. There's more than just the physical. This is spiritual and physical. Drunkenness is physical and spiritual. People get drunk on the spiritual high, on the power of demons. Emulations. Okay, we done that. Murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So there's more than just these. And there is. There's one place it talks about knowing feminine will enter heaven. What is that? Someone that's male acting female. Take it to Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. The Lord speaks about homosexuality. It is a sin. Look at Romans chapter 1. But I tell you, such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're doing these things and you don't repent of them, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Your destiny will be hell and then the lake of fire by your choice. Because you have to choose to do these. You have to choose to sin or not sin. You have to choose to walk holy or walk defiled. Because if you're not walking holy and pleasing, it is a defiled life. It is. Sin defiles. The fruits of the Spirit. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is God's Spirit in us, Jesus' Spirit in us, Holy Spirit, is love. You're to love everybody. Love, the heart of Jesus Christ. Father God is love. That's in 1 John 4. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Joy of the Lord is your strength, according to Zephaniah. And then Psalms 51, David prayed, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Okay, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. How many of you have been long-suffering with people? Long-suffering, past the point of patience, almost painful in your waiting. That's what long-suffering is. It talks about God being long-suffering. He is before he brings his judgment. Look up the words. Do the study. Gentleness, goodness, faith. It only takes faith as a grain of mustard seed for great things to accomplish. Where's your faith at? Only believe. Meekness. Meekness is humbleness. Gentleness, humbleness. Temperance. Not being offended by everything. That's one part of temperance. Being well laid out. Easy going in some ways. That's not the full thing though. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. You know, when I hear a brother or sister, a true brother or sister, excelling in the Lord, or prayers being answered, I rejoice. It's not like, well, why not me, Lord? Or, Lord, I deserve something like that. No. We're all called to our own walk, our own life, our own anointing. Quit being envious of somebody else's anointing and start seeking the Lord for yours. What is your walk? What are you called to do? I don't know. I've been asking. Go to Ephesians 1. God's word will not return to him void. Isaiah 55:11. Make a note of that. Ephesians 1. I apologize. Like I said, this Bible sticks together.
And I didn't miss, turned it again. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 1.
You can pray scripture over yourself to know your calling. You just simply, I'm going to pray like for myself. Excuse me. And I'm going to be interchanging like yous and thous. Verse 17. This was Paul praying for the saints here in Ephesians. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation. Let him reveal to you. In the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding, the eyes of my understanding, being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling, my calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So you can pray. How far do I want to go down, Lord? 17-19, 1 Ephesians 17-19, and replace you with me, and you know, insert yourself into it, or even put your name in there. And stand on Isaiah 55:11. And tell the Lord, read it to the Lord, pray it, and it will come to pass because it is the word of God. All right. I want you to pray about all this. Take it to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. We done went over an hour.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right, now, the situation with devices. I've been praying, ask the Lord, how do I pray? There's wave devices. There's biometrics. There's signatures. There's, I got a list. And he sent me to this verse, Job 5:12. And I hereby cancel all attacks trying to come upon me right now in the name of Jesus Christ of such like. In all existence known to God. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty. The devices. Job 5:12. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty. So their hands cannot perform their enterprises. Why is that so important? The definition of devices, device. A thing made or adapted for a particular purpose, especially a piece of mechanical or electronic equipment. There's your technology and there's your electronics. A piece of portable electronic equipment that can connect to the internet, such as a smartphone, tablet, or laptop, computer. There's all those devices. We're going to get the other computers too. This covers your technology, electronics, science. It covers it all. Why? Because it also says a device can be a bomb or other explosive weapons, a plan, method, or trick with a particular aim. This covers devices, every form of attack. Because even in the spiritual, even in the witchcraft, even in they go through plans, method, or trick. Their spells are weapons. They're made to be weaponized. So when he gives us verses like Job 5:12, he disappointed the devices. This time God disappointed the devices of the crafty. So their hands cannot perform their enterprises. So I've been praying these verses. And I have more, because actually that one needs to go a little further. And I've been saying, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I plead the blood over everything. And my understanding is physical, spiritual, and combined cannot get through that blood. And he said, no, it cannot, unless he lets down the hedge, which he can do because we are called to be tried and tested. That's why you stop and ask everything that happens. Don't just give credit to the enemy. Stop and say, Lord, is this something I did? You're allowing this. And if you're allowing this, how come? No, I do ask the Lord, why are you allowing this then? And he'll, a lot of times he'll tell me. Okay, Job 5:12. Let's go all the way to 15 because it. He disappointed the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope in the noonday as in the night. But he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. Then there's another, Job 21:27. Just to give you an idea. And it's talking about the Antichrist using devices. Just like, you know. Of course, we know that because you're going to use the AI as a device. Because when you go further into the technology, the application of scientific knowledge for practical purposes, especially in industry, machinery and equipment development from the application of science knowledge. Machines and machinery are both mechanical devices. And then the definition said, a thing made or adapted for a particular purpose, especially a piece of mechanical or electronic equipment. Lord sent me to technology. It all ties together. I just love him. I just do. Because I said, Lord, you got to help me here. There's some funky things going on. Job 21:22. Behold, I know your thoughts and the devices which you wrongfully imagine against me. God knows it all. God knows it all. I'm going to read off some more. I don't know if I'll get them. Excuse me. I don't know if I'll get them typed up. So if you're wanting these verses, I'm going to read them to you. And then, Lord willing, we'll get off here. Psalms 10:2, 21, 10 through 12, 33, 9 through 11. Proverbs 1:30 through 31. Psalms 37:6 through 7. Psalms 140:8 through 11. Proverbs 12:2. Isaiah 32:6 through 7. If you have the KJV and you see that word curl, C-H-U-R-L, that means deceiver and crafty in the Old Testament. And then here's examples of devices being used against, like Jeremiah. Jeremiah 11:18 through 20. Jeremiah 18:17 through 19. Lamentations 3:55 through 66. And 2 Corinthians 2:11, which tells us we're not ignorant of the enemy's devices. And the two devices I found in the Old Testament with the Antichrist, Daniel 11:23 and 25. Actually, I've got 23 through 25. So pray about that. If you're dealing with, unusual weapons being aimed at you, frequencies, vibrations, waves, and all such things, and the Lord's revealed it to you, they're devices. Weapons. Because it, But take it to Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. Don't just take my word. Try the spirits, discern the spirits. And he will prove true. Because you're seeking Jesus Christ's truth, Father God's truth. And that's what we're praying for. I release this word in Jesus Christ's name. And again, I stand on Acts 5. If this ministry is of God, it will stand and nobody can tear it down. If it is not, it shall surely fall. God bless. Stay under the blood always. And remember, Jesus Christ is coming back. There are many things coming. Yes, the darkness is still coming. We were told to warn and get it out because it is coming. People are not prepared. It's coming soon. Understand that. But so is Jesus Christ. So look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Some of us have a little more work to do, but I pray daily, Lord, come get your bride. Come get your bride. Come get your bride. Come get your bride. She suffered enough. God bless.